Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Let the second half commence. And welcome. We have made it to Friday morning. And more importantly, we have made it to the end of the All-Star break, and Padres baseball is back later today here on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome in to Ben and Woods. I am Ben Higgins. I am joined on my left here by our executive producer, Paulie Reinl. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Of course, we got an empty chair this morning where Woodsy usually sits. Mm-hmm. Now, do we have an update on the big fellow?
Depends on how you define update. Asked if he was alive after a night out, his first night out in Manchester. He did text me back and said yes.
Okay, that's good. We saw some pictures yesterday. He did arrive safely on his epic expedition to Manchester, England, to celebrate his 50th birthday, which is tomorrow, with an Oasis concert in their hometown. He's very excited about it. I've been talking about it for months.
A way to celebrate.
We did see, obviously, the pictures of him flying first class on British Airways that he sent us, his pod, his gourmet meal, his cocktails, his
no jammies.
Sleeping pod. Did not get his jammies. Could have gotten jammies. They offered him jammies. He said no. Arrived in London, spent some time at Heathrow Airport, enjoyed the lounge for British Airways, and then got on a puddle jumper to Manchester, England, arrived late in our show yesterday, and then in the afternoon, we got the first picture of Woods at a authentic-looking English pub, consuming his first Guinness of the trip.
Yeah.
And then we saw a little pub meal, some steak and potatoes, it looked like.
Yeah, a little steak frites, maybe.
And then after that, it was a bit more silent from Woods as the evening settled in. Assume he got to his hotel, checked in, and was doing okay, and now apparently sleeping in a little bit on a Friday morning, or in his case now, a Friday afternoon. Just,
yeah.
You know, kind of getting off to a slow start here on his first full day of his holiday.
He'll probably say, well, you guys don't understand. Over here, you know, we have late starts to the day. It's, you Americans wouldn't get it.
I guess so. I mean, it is kind of weird that a guy who gets up at usually around 2:30 a.m.
right.
Pacific time has trouble waking up before 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. English time when he's over there. But if he does wake up and decides to give us a call, we will get an update directly from him.
We'll make some time for him.
I don't know what the odds are right now that we are or are not going to hear from Woods in the next 4 hours.
Yeah, we were thinking, like, originally we had it planned. We're like, oh, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He'll join us for foreplay on Friday. Maybe we can try to get him at the 8 o'clock reset. That would be 4 p.m. local time for him. He's not up by four. Like, what do we do?
I don't know.
Do we call his hotel?
Is he going back out? I just want to make sure he makes it to the show tomorrow.
Tomorrow night?
That's really the only thing that I want to make. I don't care what else he does. I want to make sure he makes it to this show that he's been dreaming about for so long, ever since Oasis announced their reunion tour was going to happen, and he decided to make this like the trip of a lifetime to go over there. But
Nate says, thank God Woodsy isn't going to a Coldplay show. Well, you never know. I mean, you're on vacation. I don't know if they're in Europe right now. They're not, because they were in Foxborough yesterday.
Right. Oh, that's
2 days ago.
Yeah, we talked about it. You had that story yesterday. You're the first person that told me about it. And then, of course, the rest of the day, could not see anything else other than the tech CEO and his HR lady, you know, interlocked arms on the Jumbotron at the Coldplay concert, like, getting caught absolutely red-handed, not with their spouses.
That's like a script in a bad television show, right? Like, you're having an affair with the head of HR?
And to have it, you know, revealed in that manner.
Now, I had a few people send me a statement from the CEO, which my first reaction with just about anything these days online is that fake or is it real? And people are like, oh, that's fake. And they're like, no, this is really, really a statement. I don't know if that was actually true or not, but he was blaming he was blaming Coldplay partially for...
I believe that was a fake.
That was a fake.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that was a fake. Yeah. I think the reporter that first put that out was Peter Enos.
Peter
Enos.
Like P, Peter, Enos. Dot, P dot,
Enos.
Enos.
Yeah, I don't think that was a real statement. Nor is it. Nor is it the responsibility of the camera operator at a concert venue to decide who is and is not going to end up on crowd shots on a Jumbotron. But of course, you know, had they reacted differently, no one would have noticed or really said a thing. If they just kind of rolled with
the CEO.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's probably seen this video, and had they not done anything, what made everyone like scratch their heads was the reaction of how mortified they were.
Right.
But it's not like it was, I mean, I'm sure it was being recorded somewhere, but it's not like a lot of people are watching a live stream of a concert all over the place and that was going to get headlines. It would have been a forgotten shot, but someone pointed out, oh, did you see their reaction? And that, of course, made it into a big deal. So everyone wanted
Chris
to know.
Martin from Coldplay was like, hey, don't be shy or whatever.
Exactly. And if they hadn't done that, no one would have said a darn thing and, you know, probably would have gotten away with it and just moved on with their lives. And instead, it became the biggest international phenomenon and like meme, which, as of course, you know, the behavior you can condemn. They're not the first people in history, of course, to have an extramarital affair.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't end up in a billion memes around the planet right. because of it, though. And to have that, and that's never going to go away. I mean, that's going to be one of those memes that you see 7 years from now. And you go, oh, yeah, I remember that guy that and that girl. That's never, ever going away. They're one of their worst moments,
He's
obviously.
He's Coldplay concert guy.
He's going to be Coldplay forever. Concert CEO. For the rest of his life.
Yeah.
There's no getting around it. He'll be randomly on whatever social media app, you know, is after Instagram and Twitter in like 15 years that we're all on. And he will see still that same shot and people using that as a meme to, you know, oh, got caught red-handed just like this guy again forever and ever and ever.
It's really remarkable. I mean, think about it, not just in like a work, like we professionally, we put out content for consumption on social media and you hope that it goes viral, right? Like you want, maybe not even viral. Like we don't put anything out there hoping it goes viral, but you want the reach. You want people to see it. And then when it finally happens to you, now he wasn't trying to put out viral content at that concert, but when it happens, like, it's crazy. You got to remember, it can ruin your life.
I'm going to disagree with you. I don't really want to go viral.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
The only time I ever went viral was when I got run over by the truck on live television.
Viral's not the right word. But even if you put out a tweet about how bad the umpires are in tonight's Padres game.
Yeah, I mean, you want it to be shared around a little
bit. You want people to see it.
You know, engage with what you're doing online, for sure. Yes, you want them to engage. Once it gets beyond your audience, though, you've probably done something embarrassing or wrong. That's at least my take. I mean, occasionally there's that heartwarming story that makes it around the planet, but it's almost always something embarrassing, humiliating, disgusting. It's human nature. That's what interests all of us, and that's what ends up becoming the viral sensation.
Yeah, it's you got to be careful, man. You just got to be careful, I guess, with everything. I mean, to be known as something like Coldplay concert CEO guy now forever is wild.
I'm okay passing on the rest of their 15 minutes of fame and just moving on to a different topic. Although,
do it.
Exactly.
Talk about that.
But what did you do yesterday, Paul?
What did I do yesterday? Yeah. I just kind of recovered. Yesterday was a long day. I was telling you this morning, Thursdays are already long with the round table, the extra hour that we have to do, Adam. And then having like a guest host, which is always fun. Like, I had so much fun having Matt Janella in studio yesterday, and he was great. But there is like a little bit of a sense of like, and you probably feel it too when we have a guest in, whether it's for an hour, for 4 hours, whatever, where you're like, all right, I just kind of want to make sure they're good, make sure they're comfortable, they can handle everything. Like, you're just kind of, it's almost like you're like worrying about them a little bit, want to make sure it's going well. And that just added like a little bit more, I don't want to say stress, but a little bit more to our plates.
Yeah. I mean, Matt was great, and I want to thank him for coming in. And he was low maintenance. I mean, as easy as any
he's the best
person we've ever had in studio, because he knows what he's doing. But Paulie still has to set up his computer the way it's supposed to be to get into the video so we can be on YouTube and everything. So I totally get that feeling. I actually had a fairly simple day. Went into Channel 10, did a preview story on the Padres' second half of the season, and then got out around dinner time. And my buddy, who's in town, Scott, texted and said, "You want to meet for dinner on your way home?" He was kind of in the neighborhood. I said, "Well, all right, we'll cross paths. Where are you?" And he was like in Kearny Mesa. So I said, "Okay, we'll meet kind of the Convoy Asian Cultural District in Kearny Mesa, where they have some great food options." And I said, "Just pick somewhere that looks good." So pick this place called the Hot Spot, I believe, and it was a Korean barbecue joint. Which, I mean, Korean barbecue can be delicious, but honestly, Paulie, my hot take is, I just think it's too much for me. I don't know if it's the hot coals that are in front of you on the table in summer, where it's just you're feeling kind of the smoke and it's getting hot already.
Yeah.
Or it's the work that you have to do in, you know, grilling all the old meats, and you're like, okay, I don't want to make sure this is overcooked. I don't want to make sure it's undercooked. You're just sitting there the whole time.
Hang on. You're not about to complain about, like, paying full price for having to cook your own food, are you?
It wasn't even that. I would rather have someone prepare the food for me than have to do it myself. It was a good deal. I think we paid, you know, $35, and it was all you can eat, which... Yep. When you get to my age, I think my all-you-can-eat days
still
are
one
pretty
serving.
Numbered.
Maybe a half another serving.
No, I'm not taking maximum advantage. Now, if I was in college, sit there for what? There's like a 90-minute time limit. We were never getting close to the time limit.
In high school, we had a Mongolian grill near us, and we would go there for lunch. Like, if we had a day where it was early release, you could get there. They had like the all-you-can-eat lunch buffet. And we would walk into there, you know, 16, 17-year-old guys. We would go in there, and you get this big bowl, and you start with the noodles, and then you add your meat and the veggies and whatever else you want. And we would pile it. Basically, they would let you, you know, I'm sure things have changed now. They would let you pile that bowl literally as high as you could balance, walking it over to the grill. And then they would cram it all into a little to-go.
Oh, yeah. If you're a college student,
God,
that was elite. It was absolutely elite. But now that I am a grown-up, and yes, it was called the Fire Spot. Carl Wyatt, you're right. Fire Spot on Convoy, right there by O'Brien's, in that shopping center where you can never park. They're not charging for parking that they don't have, because you go in there and there's never a spot, which means it's popular. And this place was. We got there, you know, it was right around opening. It's already like a line out front. It must be good. And it was. The food was good. But you get this list of, you know, there's like 45 different meats that you can order to cook yourself.
Yeah.
And Of course, because, you know, we're Americans with an American palate, I'm afraid of half of them. The chicken gizzards, the chicken hearts, the goat, you know, spleen or whatever. I'm just afraid to order. And it may be the best thing. Those may be like in Korean barbecue.
But cooking it yourself gives you some pause.
I have no idea how to cook it. I have no idea what it's going to taste like. So I'm afraid of half the menu items. So, of course, you stick to the, yeah, I'll get the steak and I'll get the chicken and I'll get the shrimp. The shrimp, of course, still has the skin and everything on it. So you got to cook it and then kind of figure out a way to peel it and burn your fingers off. And it was delicious. The food was delicious. And I'm not complaining about the concept. Every other diner in there was extremely happy. They were really enjoying their meals. But for me now at age 49, soon to be 50, like Woods tomorrow, it was just a little too much. And I just think I need someone to prepare my meals. Maybe even tell me what to order. Like, what's the special? Come on, what's the special of the house? Make sure I'm just getting it right. I want it cooked right. I want the right sauces on it. And then they have like 9 sauces. Like, I have no idea which sauce I'm supposed to dip anything in. They're just sitting there. Yeah. They're not even labeled. Like, I have no idea what any of this is.
I haven't been to Korean barbecue in a while. And I think the last time I went, now somebody said it's not really meant for 2 people. It's more of a group meal.
That would help.
And I think that absolutely makes a difference.
Yeah, every plate they'd bring, I'm going, that's a lot of just that one thing that we're going to have to cook and then eat just the two of us.
Yeah.
Plus, they threaten you that if you don't eat it all, if there's leftovers, you will be charged additional for waste. Like, there's a $10 additional charge if you don't eat anything. So,
now
all of a sudden, you feel the pressure. Like, you eat the first bite of, like, this is so-so, and I've got this entire pile of it now that I've got to finish eating, or they're going to charge me extra for it at the end of the meal. So I had the stress of that part of the meal going as well.
I get it. No, I get it. The last time I had Korean barbecue, I think, was out at Fantasy Camp. And I think you came with us. We had our team dinner. Now,
right.
We had 15 guys there, maybe even more. So we had 2 long tables. And we had a couple of guys that knew what they were doing. And they knew exactly what to order, what goes with what, how to cook everything. Like, they kind of ran the show. So they kind of helped be that, like, server and cook type role, and that made it a lot easier for me to just, they'd be like, oh, that sounds good, I'll try some of that. But I was always nervous, like, when it was, they're like, hey, Paulie, why don't you cook up some of that beef or whatever, and I'm like, okay, I hope I'm doing it right. Like, I don't know. It looks ready. I think we'll try it.
Jay in the Middle says, that's a quality place you went to, Ben. Good choice. I agree. The meats were all quality that we cooked. I was not, like, afraid of anything. Sauces were good. I think I got a sesame sauce and a ponzu sauce. They were both good. It was tasty, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions on any particular business. It was probably one of the best versions of Korean barbecue I've ever had. I just realized at some point I can't do the all-you-can-eat. I don't want to cook it myself. I just want to go out and have just a meal that's already prepared, placed in front of me that I can then eat.
Now, if you wanted to, because this is definitely my move, if you wanted to, I've never even looked into it, can you order Korean barbecue to go? Will they prepare it and put it in a to-go box and order it for, like, takeout?
I assume you can. Now, the only menu option
I understand that the majority of the
you can eat.
I totally understand that the experience is going and doing it all yourself at the table. But if you just were like, God, that sounds really, really good, I just kind of want to go grab it and bring it home and eat it. I don't know if you...
I mean, what business would not say yes? Someone wants to pay you for their food.
Right.
You don't even have to take up a spot in their restaurant that other people can be eating in. Of course,
they do that? A business whose business model is you come in and make it at your table.
I guess so. I mean, is it Korean barbecue if you're not cooking it yourself right on the grill?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody in the chat will let us know if they've ordered takeout for Korean barbecue.
Then it's just, you know, like regular Asian food served with rice, and it's already cooked, and you take it home. But
which has to stay in your lane, Ben. Stick to Thai food, spice level 4. No, I'm the spice level 4 guy. Me and Woods. Hey, you were here. I think you were here for that. Maybe you're not. We somehow got into Thai food, and I told Woods I'm like a 4, and he lost his mind. He said he's 1. He said he had a 2.
Oh, I was not here for that.
Okay, it must have been Monday. He said he had like a 2 one time, and it almost killed him.
Two?
Yeah.
Is he a toddler? Yeah, I'm usually around a 4. I can do 5. I've had 7 a few times. It's a little much for me, but I can do it.
My wife gets 6. I've tried 5 to like kind of see if that was too much. It was just a little much. So I stick with 4.
Anytime you get above like the middle of the range, it stays with me. I don't mind the spice when I'm eating it. I actually like that. It's addictive. I just don't like 45 minutes after the meal for my mouth to still kind of be burning and there's right. nothing I can do about it. And anytime you go beyond like 5, it's rough to get the spice level out of your system. So again, old people problems that I'm starting to deal with. Why don't we check traffic? I will set the menu. We've got a busy show today. Multiple guests with Woods Not Here coming in with Padres perspectives and more. We'll let you know what's coming up on a Friday edition of Ben and Woods. Ben Higgins, Paulie Rindle with you on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly. Thank you.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Kelly, busy show this morning as we get you ready for the start of the second half of the baseball season. And we do have pitching matchups for you for the series against the Washington Nationals. We knew about the Padres starters yesterday. Now we've got some Nationals probables and we can go through the series. Look ahead to the second half and what it's going to take, of course, for the Padres to make the playoffs again. And when I say again, Paulie, it's because Padres haven't made the playoffs 2 years in a row since 2005 and 2006.
Yeah.
Seems kind of weird because it feels like, oh, yeah, they're in the playoffs like every year. But they're not. They've been in the playoffs every other year since 2020.
Right. But and 2020, as much of a weird 60-game season as that was, that's still for me, and maybe 2019 is the more appropriate year, but for me, just internally in my head, 2020 kind of seems like the start of this Padres era for however long it lasts. That's when they brought back the Brown. That's when Tatis was not a rookie anymore. Like, you know, like we made the playoffs that year. That kind of felt like it was really the start of this.
It was AJ's first big buy at the trade deadline, even though it was only 30 games into the season.
Right.
It marked a change in, I think, the eras of Padres baseball.
I think you're right. Yeah, even though the trades, let's be honest, did not work out well for us that year. Is that the year we got Nola and Dan Altuvilla and Austin Adams?
It turned out not to be the greatest trade deadline in history.
We got Mike Clevenger from Cleveland. But, yeah, it wasn't great. But
it signaled something.
Yes, exactly. And it's been pretty much chaotic ever since. So since 2020 to make the playoffs every other year. You know, you saw what the Giants did in the early 2000s. Now they won it all every other year. The part that scares me is the years that they don't make the playoffs, they don't just have a bad year and miss the playoffs. Like, they miss it in epic, epic fashion. The collapse of 2021, the all-star, all-world roster in 2023 that couldn't get the job done.
I will throw out one other. I told you, you know, alternating playoff years for the Padres. I'll throw one other stat that I confirmed yesterday as well. The Padres have never won a playoff game in an odd-numbered year in their franchise history.
Never won a playoff game in an odd year.
The only times they've had any playoff success, 84, 98. They won a game in 2006 against the Cardinals, but they got swept in 2005, which was the only year they ever made the playoffs with an odd-numbered year.
And
then they've gotten 2020, 2022, and 2024, but missed in 2021 and 2023. So one playoff appearance, and they got swept three games by the St. Louis Cardinals. They have never won a playoff game in an odd-numbered year in their 56 years of franchise existence.
That is kind of crazy.
So maybe, hopefully, the trend can change this year. We will talk Padres baseball, and we will talk SDFC soccer with our pal Darren Smith, who's going to join us. Tough week for Darren. We mentioned our condolences to him. Lost his dad earlier this week, but he's still working, and you know, SDFC's got another game tomorrow night at home against Vancouver.
That was something I wrestled with yesterday, and it's just business. It's just part of the job, but when you have weekly, you know, a working relationship with somebody that's a good friend like Darren is, who I've known for, you know, 10 years now, and I know we have him on Fridays, and I go, I don't know how to reach out and ask if you want to join us, because God knows I would totally understand. I would expect you to not be able to join us. I would expect you'd be like, hey, I got family stuff going on. We got to get affairs in order. You know what I mean? Like, that is a normal thing.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that as well.
And I still reached out, and I'm like, it's kind of an awkward position to be in. And I'm like, hey, man, like, but then I knew he called the game on Wednesday night. I know you saw him on Wednesday at practice, so I'm like, all right, maybe he's using work and soccer as a bit of an escape to focus on something else for a few hours or whatever. So I reached out, and it was exactly what I expected. He goes, yeah, you know, I got to get a bunch of stuff done this weekend, but totally down to join you guys. I've been using soccer. It's been helping me kind of focus on something else right now, but definitely, like, always that weird, like, do I reach out? How do I reach out? Is this appropriate?
Yeah, it's definitely kind of an awkward moment when, you know, someone loses a loved one, and, you know, you want to give them space, but you don't also want to, like, ignore them. And,
well, the worst thing would be if we don't even reach out to him. We just assume he's out this week.
Right.
Maybe next week we'll catch up with him.
And, like,
and then
awkward.
At 7:30, he's like, hey, are we not doing this today? I'm like, oh, crap, sorry.
So Darren will join us at 7:30, and then it is a Friar Friday, and our guest today at 8:35 is going to be Chris Kemp. I love Chris. He's the Vice President of Amateur and International Scouting, was in charge of the recently completed draft, so we'll talk about some of the new additions to the Padres organization, including their now third-ranked prospect, according to ESPN, Cruz Schoolcraft, jumps right into the top three after being selected in the first round. So we'll talk to Chris Kemp at 8:35, and then we'll welcome back in-season Sammy in our 9 o'clock hour as he gets ready for his first pre- and post-game shows later today, the second half of the season. But when we come back, we'll get into the series against the Washington Nationals, and I'm going to start with some very, very potentially bad news for both teams, actually.
Fantastic.
Did not want to start this way for the second half, but hey, you might have to deal with it. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods, Paulie Reindl on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Tier 1s in our YouTube chat are much too smart for me to throw any teases out there before they quickly figure out what I'm talking about. And I said, potentially bad news for the Padres and Nationals. Of course, as we are just so eager to get baseball back today, there is a potential for bad weather in Washington, D.C. It's the only game that really seems to be threatened by bad weather today. But with the Padres playing 10 games on the East Coast and only one of their venues, Miami, having a covered roof, you've got potential for weather this weekend in Washington. And then who knows, next weekend in St. Louis when they play four games against the Cardinals, you could get more weather there. So,
well, you know, Ben, it's corn sweating season.
Oh, that's right. In St. Louis, get the hot corn sweat.
Corn sweat and
adds
sizzin.
To the humidity. Like the literal corn growing adds to the humidity of the entire region as the corn sweats. We learned about that, what, last year,
couple
year before?
Years, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Did Jesse tell us about it, or was it Schilt? It might have been last year. Schilty. Or I know we talked to him about
Katie
it.
Katie Wu may have told us. Yeah. I'm not sure. But first of all, I mean, the temperature's okay. It's obviously humid in Washington, D.C., low 80s, but the chance for rain and thunder showers sitting around 40 to 50% all around, you know, hours before and during the game. And then, you know, lightning maybe later in the night, but who knows if there's going to be delays.
Every single East Coast game for the Padres this year been at least threatened with weather?
Feels like it. I mean, maybe there just shouldn't be East Coast teams in Major League Baseball anymore.
You know, we're going to talk about it more and more as we get closer to the end of the 2026 season and this impending lockout and labor strike and all that for 2027. And who knows for how long that's going to last, you know, players and owners fighting over a salary cap. I personally propose that Major League Baseball should implement a rule where all East Coast teams need to play in a dome.
At least everywhere with a likelihood of rain,
a retractable roof.
Yeah, because I don't want every stadium to have a dome. I don't want Petco Park to have a dome.
We don't need one in Petco Park. We have one rain out every five years,
which is fine.
Arizona, they don't. They need one because of the heat.
Padres, of course, got rained out when we were in Philadelphia and had to play the doubleheader the next day. Don't know if it's so serious that a doubleheader is a possibility, but should be at least prepared for the chance of either a delayed start or a rain delay at some point during the game, which could impact your starting pitchers. We mentioned yesterday Dylan Cease is going to get the start to open the second half for the Padres, looking to bounce back from a rough first half, of course, that saw him go 3-9 with a 4.88 ERA. The Nationals are going to go with right-hander Michael Soroka in their first game. He's 3-7 with a 5.35 ERA. The Nationals, of course, don't have the deepest of pitching staffs beyond, of course, All-Star Mackenzie Gore, who is scheduled to pitch on Sunday in the series finale against Nick Pivetta, and it'll be Mitchell Parker, who was also 5-10 with a 5.12 ERA, going tomorrow in the Saturday game. So a chance in these first two games, assuming they are played, against some pitchers who have given up some runs this year, for hopefully the Padres' offense, Paulie, to come out and, you know, get some momentum, get some good feelings, put some runs on the board in the first couple of games, and then carry that through like we saw last year in the second half of the season. They got shut out, remember, that first day after the All-Star break a year ago on that Friday. And then they started scoring, and they didn't stop really scoring for the rest of the season until the last two playoff games against the Dodgers. Their offense was top-notch in the second half of the year last year, and that's probably what the Padres need more than anything else. And Manny talked about it today in a piece from Kevin Acey in the Union Tribune. He actually said, Paulie, and I want to get your reaction to this. He said, we played our worst ball so far. And I
sure hope so.
Manny knows way more than I do, but I kind of disagree that the Padres have played their worst ball all season. They're 8 games above 500. I mean, we've seen them play worse baseball than what they did in the first half of this season. I think Manny's actually being a little hard on Elf and the San Diego Padres by saying they played their worst ball so far.
How about this? I'm glad they haven't played their best ball. Like, I'm glad they didn't peak in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, the first 2 weeks were fantastic.
They were great.
So we don't know. Maybe they did peak in the first 2 weeks of the season.
I sure hope not.
I think Manny is kind of speaking into what he hopes is the reality of the second half, that they are going to play much more consistent offensive baseball.
Look, you can win games where you played poorly. We saw there was a stretch like in the last month where it felt like they lost every game they should have won. And they won every game they should have lost. Like, you can play poorly and still scratch out a win. I think what Manny's talking about is they just haven't fired on all cylinders. The team's just not all clicking. Whatever way you want to say it, we haven't really seen that. We've seen Manny stay consistent. We've seen Xander get pretty hot for a good stretch. And then he saw a game from Jackson Merrill. He saw Toddy starting to turn a corner. Every time he had a good game, we're like, oh, is this it? Is Toddy finally turning a corner here? We haven't seen, like, all three of those guys in particular firing at the same time.
And one of the points that Kevin Acey made, which is true, is that because the Padres don't hit a lot of home runs, their only way to consistently put up offense is to have multiple guys all hitting well at the same time. Because you can get... You can get three singles and load the bases, but have the Padres really ever had four guys in a row that are all, you know, firing on all cylinders at the same time? He pointed out a situation recently when Padres put together some good at bats, you know, double, single, walk, load the bases, and then Jose Iglesias came up, and then Jake Cronenworth struck out. It's when you're forcing your team to get four or five or six hits for a big inning. Like, if you want a three-run inning right now, if you're the Padres, yeah, you're going to need six
hit through the lineup,
seven hits in that inning. And they don't have six or seven good offensive players, or certainly not at the same time.
Not consistent,
yeah. Guys that have been consistently producing throughout the lineup to ever put together big innings like that. So you're always kind of forced to hopefully scratch across one here, one there, and at the end of the game you have your three, and maybe that's enough, and maybe that's not enough.
That's why so many times, like, how many times do you think it feels like where an inning starts with Merrill or Tatis or Arise? It starts somewhere in the top, And by the time it's time to like deliver the kill shot, you're down to Maldonado or Diaz or Lockridge. You know what I mean? Like it's just you're at the bottom of your order, and you're like, well, we almost got you, and then we'll start again in the next inning at the top and try it again.
And that does happen to other teams as well. You know, the Padres aren't the only club that have non-productive 8 and 9 hitters. It's actually quite common. It's not always the catcher or the left fielder. It could be any sorts of positions. But a team like the Washington Nationals, you're going to see bad hitters at the bottom of their order as well. So it's not completely unusual, but other teams can make up for that by the long ball, by scoring right. with one swing of the bat, getting one guy on and then hitting a two-run home run. I'm not talking about a grand slam every day. You know, Padres don't even have a single one this year. They've had very few three-run homers. But, hey, two-run homers, that's one grand slam right there. And we've seen very few games in which the Padres have even done that. They had a nice little stretch at the end of the first half, 10 home runs in 9 games, helped by the two-home run game from Jackson Merrill. More power from him in the second half feels like it's almost an imperative. Yeah. And, you know, so that's why that game against Zach Wheeler was such a good sign. Manny had 4 of those homers, though. I mean, you know, they need other guys to step up with a little bit of power. And right now, it's probably not in the cards with the guys they have. You can't ask Jake Cronenworth to become a 25 home run guy. That's not going to happen. Gavin Sheets has done, I think, anything, you know, you can ask Gavin Sheets to do. And I assume he will contribute another 8 or 9 home runs in the second half, get above 20. He's been great.
He has been a delight. And as scary as it was to watch him in left field early on this season, he's really improved, I think, to the point where I think he's even serviceable out there in left field. And maybe left field isn't as much of a glaring need for A.J. Preller as it was, I don't know, a month ago, 6 weeks ago.
Xander Bogaerts, while his offensive game has significantly improved over the last month, I mean, he's hitting like .378. That does not come with any power, and I don't think it ever is going to again. I mean, yes or no, Xander Bogaerts will hit 20 home runs in a season ever again in his career.
Ever again? Ever.
He will get to 20 home runs in a season at any point in his career from this point on. My answer is no. Doesn't mean he'll be a bad offensive player, but I don't ever see him. I don't ever see him getting to 20 in his Padres tenure.
Yeah, if it's going to happen, it's got to happen real soon.
Right. He's not getting there this year for sure.
Right.
And I just don't see the power. You know, when he's hitting well,
he's only four times
with the Red Sox. You know, he did it a few times with a shorter porch, yep. A little more hitters.
He hit 19 division. For us in 2023, his first year. 11 last year. He's at 5 this year.
I just don't see a.
I'll say yes
late,
just to be.
Okay, well, I don't see. And again, doesn't mean he can't be a productive offensive player, but the Padres need to find power bats.
Right. It ain't going to be him.
Now, at the trade deadline, whoever they pick up, someone needs to be able to put the ball out of the park. They don't have to hit 300 and put the ball out of the park, because if they're doing that, then they're probably an all-star, really expensive, and the Padres won't be able to acquire them. But you can find guys who hit 230 and put the ball out of the yard. You know, we talked about Kyle Higashioka. He did that for the Padres last year. Hit 230, but he put the ball over the fence 20 times, including the playoffs. That's incredibly valuable and something the Padres need to acquire at the deadline. But more importantly, for the next few years,
yeah.
They need to develop that. They need to find more power in their system, or draft more power, or trade for more power that's going to be on the Padres, you know, year in and year out. Tatis, we've certainly seen he has the ability to hit 40 home runs, but is he have the ability to stay on the field all season long and hit for power? Manny'll give you his 30, which is great, and it looks like he's going to do that again this year. But where is the rest of the power coming from? Jackson Merrill is going to have to step up, and the Padres are going to have to find other guys who can hit the ball out of the yard.
Yeah. You know, I can't remember if we were talking about this on the air or off the air this week, but we were talking about Kyle Schwarber, who is going to be a free agent after this year. He's not getting traded. Philly's not moving him. And my guess is they're probably going to re-sign him. I have no idea what Kyle Schwarber's value is going to be on the market, because he almost is like the Luis Arraez for the Phillies, where it's like, how valuable is he? Because I'm sure, just like there are Padres fans that get upset at Luis Arraez for not having pop, there are got to be Phillies fans that are upset that Schwarber, especially, like, remember, he was a leadoff hitter. And they're like, he's got a 195 average, but he hits 30, 40 tanks every year. Wouldn't that be somebody that you would want the Padres to just give whatever amount of money it takes to get him?
Like, it's too early to talk about the offseason.
I understand
right
that,
now, but
he's that type of player where you're like, dude, your only job is to come up and hit missiles.
I don't want to give false hopes to the Padres fan base about what possibly could be coming in the offseason. And we can talk about that after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Eliminite Termite, the orange oil experts. Just one problem to mention here, West 8 at the 125. Two right lanes are blocked, as well as the transition to the 125. So please give yourself extra time if that is your route. Fortunately, all of our other freeways staying out of trouble so far this morning. Have termites, eliminate termite inspect streets, and repairs termite damage, all with a full structural warranty. Our orange oil treatment is safe for people, pets, and the planet. No tend, no move out. Protect your home naturally. Schedule a free inspection at eliminatetermite.com. I'm Kelly Danik with Ben and Wood, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I agree that Kyle Schwarber would look good in the Padres
lineup. Not even Schwarber specifically.
But
it's
someone
the type
like that,
of player.
I do agree. I don't think that the Padres will be adding another high-priced core player to the roster anytime soon. I think they have their core of who they believe are their star players. It's a prime Fernando Tatis Jr., hopefully entering his prime Jackson Merrill, and then veteran whatever production you're getting from Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts for the next few years. Those are your prime offensive players, and then the rest of the roster will be built around them. Hopefully, you know, AJ will find some young players who can, you know, be the next Jackson Merrill. Leo Dallas DeVries, you know, could be a superstar at some point, and your four stars with other players that come in. Finds like Gavin Sheets, you know, savvy moves, but I don't think, and this is not because of John Seidler. They were saying this when Peter Seidler was still alive from the organization, that they were always going to have to, you know, find lesser priced talent to surround their stars.
Right.
And I've gotten the sense for, you know, two or three years now,
there's only one team that can continue to do that differently.
It may be, you know, maybe the Yankees, but the Dodgers are the team that can continue to do that. That, you know, the Padres, I don't see going out and spending $300 million on someone else like a Kyle Schwarber or anyone else to add to their lineup, simply because, you know, there are the whatever the financial realities are and the new CBA that's going to have to be negotiated at some point, they're going to have to live in some sort of world where costs are at least tamped down and they can't go crazy every single year. And they're really already kind of, as we know, at their upper limits of where they can be because of the luxury tax, because of their market. So dreaming on, well, let's look at what the top free agents are every single offseason and which ones will the Padres be targeting. I don't plan on playing that game very often, you know, in the future, that's not how the Padres are going to be improving their club.
Yeah, I would agree.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't improve your club.
I think any big money that is going to be spent over the next few years, it's going to have to be to rebuild the rotation. What do you do with Michael King?
With Nick Pivetta. I mean, what an incredibly good signing that was. You know, it wasn't free, but it wasn't also an
he was willing to be creative
one. And, you know, he was willing to be creative. And the Padres, that was a huge win for the Padres to get Nick Pivetta. I expect Nick Pivetta-level signings, maybe with position players as well. But mostly, they've got to continue to hit on some younger guys like Leo, maybe Ethan Salas, if he makes it through this trade deadline. That's how the Padres are going to augment their core four in their lineup going forward. It's not going to be pursuing the top free agent in the market in the offseason like Kyle Schwarber's, who, quite frankly, I mean, you know, Kyle Schwarber's probably seen the best couple of years of his career, the last couple of years.
I just looked it up. He's making $20 million a year. He's on the last year of his contract. It was 4 years, $79 million with the Phillies. Like, I don't know if he makes more or less.
He might make more, but you'll get less production than the Phillies got out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the Phillies end up re-signing him just because he is beloved there and they just don't want to let him go. But they will overpay to re-sign him because right. You can't expect to get from Kyle Schwarber the next 4 years what you got the last 4 years. That's just not how aging works for anyone.
In the late 90s, early 2000s, every team you could not contend without at least one big boy DH slugger in your lineup. And then the game started to kind of change a little bit, and that wasn't as important. For God's sakes, you're seeing Luis Arraez now sometimes DHing. You would have never, ever seen that in the year 2000.
Yeah,
Padres, you never would have seen it.
The Padres are definitely more of the mold breakers than other teams.
But feel like...
They don't have a power hitter at first base. They don't put a power hitter necessarily, a designated hitter. They have kind of zigged when other teams kind of had zagged. The traditional baseball thinking has not applied to A.J. Preller in many, many different circumstances these last few years.
But it does feel like the game's kind of trending back in that direction where you need that big bat somewhere in your lineup, whether it's first base, DH, whatever.
D says, Nick Pivetta-level signings. Can you explain that a little bit better? Yeah, I mean, a veteran player in free agency, but not at the top of the market. Get savvy signings that maybe other teams are not picking up on. You got to be smart. Doesn't mean you're not spending money. They spent money on Nick Pivetta, but you got to be smart about it going forward. All right, we'll come back. It is a flashback Friday. We never got to it on Throwback Thursday. Woods was not a fan. I'll explain.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off. The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.